to the U.S. Fire Journal Podcast. We offer views and opinions on the fire service around the world with no topic too tough to handle. Visit us at usfirejournal.com for all your fire service information. Now, here's your host, Jay.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the podcast. Today is Thursday. It is June the 1st. And we're only about 5 months away from starting Christmas shopping. Yeah, I bet that made your day. Today we are going to talk about doing your job and maybe a couple of rants and answer some questions. Tomorrow I do have an announcement, and that will take up a part of tomorrow's podcast. And then we're going to talk about some good practices for firefighters to get into. This includes leaders as well. We'll do that tomorrow. You know, almost every episode, and I've been doing this for a very long time, almost every episode or everything I write in some way, shape, or form talks about knowing and doing your job. And I had someone tell me that, you know, what happens when the leaders of a particular department constantly move what you're supposed to be doing? In other words, today it's, yeah, we want you to do this, and then you do it, and they're like, no, we changed that yesterday, and now we want you to do this, and you're trying to do that, and you're trying, and you can never please people like that, because it's a very schizophrenic way of leading. In fact, it's not leading. It's just, you know, it's just haphazard thoughts. These people, they almost never have a coherent plan. And he brings up a really good point. Knowing and doing your job is predicated on there being an understanding of exactly what the job is. Now, as you move from department to department, city to city, town to town, county to county, state to state, there are differences. There just are. And part of becoming a firefighter or other position throughout a department in another place is saying, okay, what do I need to do here? Now, job description helps, but more often than not, most people learn from the people around them. That, I think, is kind of how it goes. But he does bring up a very valid point. What happens when these people who say, okay, kick this extra point, and as you go to kick it, they move the goalposts. And like, nah, kick it over here this time, or kick it over there, or you know, we're moving it further out or closer in. Well, yeah, it's difficult to do it. It is. And it underscores just how important leadership is at the top. Bad leaders oversee bad departments because of their bad decisions. Now understand, I don't say they oversee bad firefighters or bad company officers or bad chiefs. That's not what I'm saying. They oversee bad departments because, like it or not, a department more often than not takes on the persona of the fire chief and the command staff. If things are hectic, if it's crisis manage everything, including breakfast, that is the type of identity that department will often take on, especially if the department doesn't really have an identity in the first place. It is so easy to get caught in doing things the wrong way. People get caught up in that trap of doing things the wrong way because it, you know, if you've been doing the things the wrong way for a long time, that's precisely how they'll turn out. And so, yeah, there's a lot to be said for that, for people who keep moving the goalposts. But still, no matter where you work, if longevity is what you seek, no matter what, you still have to do the job to the best of your ability. If they're moving the goalposts, then you got to try to, you know what, make sure you take care of yourself. Make sure you take care of the people right around you. So, in that instance, not a lot changes. Although, from the perspective of success and failure as an organization, it shifts. It does. Which is why the people who are part of chaos, it's not enough that they just get held out of a spot. It isn't. They have to be moved out. And sometimes when a new chief is coming in, they have to play the game. You know what I mean? And then when they get in there, then they can make the changes they need to. Because ultimately, the weights, you know, the negative weights that hold you down in the water, that cause you to drown, they really don't change. They don't. They're bad. And that's the way it is. You know, we were talking about plans yesterday, and I got a lot of responses to it. It's absolutely true. And you know, I think that a lot of these dysfunctional leaders, when they come up with an idea that they think is golden, and they put it out, and it fails, and most of their plans do, right? They'll plan to do this. Well, we're going to do this, this, and this, and then it fails. Well, you know what? We're going to do this then, and it fails, and it fails, and it continues to fail. Even the simplest things, they fail at. And it's because no plan survives first contact with reality. Now, the old saying is no plan survives first contact with the enemy. But in this case, with these dysfunctional leaders, they are the enemy. So no plan that they come up with survives first contact with reality. These people don't know what they're doing. And on the off chance that maybe one of them does, it still ends up in failure. How is that possible? Well, you know, we've talked about it before, but I'll reiterate it one more time. It is impossible for those people to plan and to implement anything that doesn't turn out to be a disaster. Because at heart, they don't care. They don't want input. Their little egos can't handle that the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of their people, their firefighters, and the overwhelming majority of people that surround them think that those guys are idiots. And it's not people around them just being unkind. It's results. That's why they have to create phony things so that they can build up their own reputation. You know, it's like, well, yeah, look, we saved this. Look at this foundation right here. I mean, yeah, there was a house on it, but look. We saved this concrete. We're pretty special. And they'll somehow finagle an award for themselves. Or, you know, they'll say, look at these saves we have. Look at this, man. We saved two dogs. Now they died a little bit later. but we're going to create these phony circumstances, the smoke and mirrors. And I got to tell you, everybody sees it but them. Everyone sees it. They see them for who they are. It's sad when you have firefighters with almost no experience who are better decision makers than these dysfunctional leaders. And I gotta tell you, change comes. It comes. Let's do some questions, shall we? Let's see here. I hear a lot of problems with some of these bad departments, and I'm wondering, is it because a lot of these people are young? Because that seems to be the problem everywhere. Well, I don't know what you mean by that. Look, every generation, the youth suck. And that's been that way since the first generation of people. It's something that my generation dealt with, the generation before me, the generation before that, the subsequent generation, so on and so on and so on. The bottom line is things change. People change. The way things are done does change. But the fire service still demands the same sort of things that it demanded of people before. Some people go, oh, no, now we got to do this. No, it's still the same. The actions may be different. The focus may be different. But the fire service still demands sacrifice of time, sacrifice of effort. That's what it demands. And that's the way it goes. You know, it can be boredom punctuated by moments of sheer terror. That's the way that goes. So now, I can't blame it all on young people. I will say this. Some of these dysfunctional leaders, the ones who are younger, they've never been, I don't think, told that, yeah, you know what, you suck. I can think of one in particular that I know. And this guy, I mean, he folds like a pup tent in a windstorm if anything negative said to him. Can't handle it. And that stinks. He should not be a leader. That is something that I guess this generation and the one before, they're going to have to get over that. Everybody gets told, hey, you know what? You suck at this, or you made a bad decision. If your first inclination is to attack when you're told that, yeah, you know what? You didn't do this well, then, yeah, you're going to have a long life, a long, miserable life. People don't want to hear your crap. And again, I think some of it goes back to some of these dysfunctional leaders. They were gifted positions. They've avoided just about everything by either staying out of Hooterville their whole life or not really being around firefighters who will tell you exactly what they think, because the firefighters who will tell you exactly what they think, they have seen people die. And you know what? All the little niceties and all the little suck-ass stuff, it doesn't work with them. It just doesn't. Some guys are in love with being called chief, but they're not a chief. They're just not. And I wonder, when those guys go around, if any of them realize just how incompetent everyone sees them. My guess is no, they don't see it. In part, they don't live in reality. You know, no plan survives contact with reality. None of their plans do. And my guess is they continue to tell each other, we're good. Nah, we good. We are good. Yep, maybe so. Hopefully they'll be able to do that for a long time in different places. Let's see. Jay, I got a quick pump question. What's the best way to deal with the loss of prime? Use your primer? I don't know where the question's from. Yeah, you didn't say where you're from. I mean, I would use my primer. If you lose prime, what are you trying to do? You got to get the air out. So use your primer. Primer doesn't work, drop prime. Drop prime's easy, it's quick, it's fast, you can be in a hurry. I'm guessing that's what you mean by what is the best way to deal with loss of prime. Yeah, if you lose your prime, then use your primer. If it's not working, drop prime. There are other ways too. There's some interesting ways in which to get air out of a truck. Sometimes the best way to get air out of a truck is to sit it in front of one of these dysfunctional chiefs and have that chief talk to it. That air goes away fast. Let's see. Jay, our hose is in horrible shape. Oftentimes, we're dealing with burst hose on a constant basis. And it doesn't seem as if anybody's concerned about it. I'm wondering if you have any advice on dealing with that problem. Well, you know, I don't know what your situation is. I don't know what department, obviously. Look, hose is like anything else, right? The hose has to be functional. When we talk about staples of the fire service, you know, hose is pretty damn important. You know, you got to get there. That's important. Once you're there, you're going to need the wet stuff, and you have to have a way to deliver the wet stuff. So, yeah, hose is fundamental. When you say a lot, I don't know what you mean. Is it happening at every fire, every other fire, every five or six fires? I don't know what that means. Is your department hose testing? I can tell you from personal experience, I was with a department that we kept our hose, maybe a couple hundred years before anybody decided to move on. And we did our own hose testing. And when we go out and test hose, it was a crapshoot, I got to tell you. You know, you lay the hose out and we'd, you know, we'd charge it and get the hell out of the way because a lot of hose pop. And then we had a new chief come in and the hose got replaced pretty rapidly. Hose testing should tell you a lot, as long as the hose testing's above board. You know, I've heard of places that will take out brand new hose to do the hose testing and then put the old hose back on. Now, I'm sure that that's a one-off and that that couldn't possibly be being done anywhere. Yeah, I think you have to address it. I'm not saying you yourself, I don't know what your role is in the department. If it's happening on fires, if you have a local, address it through the local. I mean, at some point, you can lose somebody behind that. It's a lot of, this drives me nuts. A lot of departments are so geared toward, oh, we got hose testing, all right, passed, good, our hose is great, nothing could ever be wrong. That's not true. Hose still needs to be periodically looked at. Should be looked at after every fire. It doesn't take a lot of effort when you put the hose back on the truck. Another thing is, in your own way, keep records of it. Everybody's got a phone with a camera on it. Take photos of it. Build a record. That's something that your command staff should be doing. And if they're not, then you're going to need that record. And because at some point, a firefighter is going to get in trouble or a citizen, and it's all going to come to a head. And so, yeah, I would find a way to deal with it now as opposed to waiting for it to fail on scene and possibly with somebody's life being put in danger. Jay, wonder what you think of bagpipes. That's an odd question. We have a department. I think that's not what he meant to say. You have an honor guard, not a guard of honor. You have an honor guard. And sometimes the bagpipes go along with us, especially on somber occasions. It drives some of us nuts. Yeah, bagpipes are part of it. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is. I think I would be irate if they started up with the polka, you know. I would be irate at that. Or if they played Blake Shelton, you know. Just that's not stuff that needs to be around any good occasion or bad occasion. You know, the pipes for a lot of people are as traditional as fire apparatus. It just is. Every place doesn't have them, but where they do, I don't see the harm in it. I really don't. I know that for me myself, when I hear it, it is oftentimes extremely somber, and it sets a tone for a particular occasion, especially in memory of lost firefighters. There's a reason why bagpipes are used all over the world during those types of events. They can also be used to kick off an event. Because they are, whatever you say about them, you don't mistake bagpipes for anything else. You don't mistake it for a piano, that's for sure. I don't know what to tell you. Wear your plugs, maybe. Let's see. Jay, I'm not saying that we have a race problem, because I don't think we do. But I'm wondering, why is it okay for one race to say something about another, but not another to say... No, I don't have any advice on that. Fire service, man, look, you serve everybody. You do. You serve everybody. You get a call, you're going to a house. Doesn't matter who's in the house, you got to take care of them. The people working with you, you got to take care of them. And that's all the way around. There's no room for that in the fire service. It just isn't. So, yeah, not getting into that crap. Do your job and treat people around you with respect. That's the fire service. Well, let's see. We had some items budgeted, and now they're out of the budget. And at least one item was for critical safety items that we were told would definitely be in there. The chief has his hands tied. There's nothing he can do. And we're thinking about taking it public. Just wondering what the repercussions might be. Well, I don't know your area, but in general, when firefighters take something public, there's always a little pushback. In some places, I know especially dysfunctional leaders will tell you, you do that, man, them people ain't never going to forget y'all. Y'all won't get anything in the future. They're going to have to, you know what, they might put a letter on you, man. You know, they might say, boy, that boy, yeah. The people who say that are ignorant, number one. Number two, they have royally screwed up if they tell you that you might be targeted. Always, always keep a note of that. If it's a critical safety item, I kind of wish you'd have said what it is. And the chief's hands are tied. Do you have a local? Locals can be very good at getting that information to the appropriate people in a respectful way that discusses, you know what, these are critical items for firefighters and citizens. If it's critical for firefighters, it's also critical for citizens. Sometimes we don't push that enough. If firefighters need new air packs, it's critical for citizens that firefighters get those new air packs. Why? It's the citizens that firefighters are going to save wearing those air packs. It's their houses they're going to fight fire in wearing those air packs. So I'm not sure what critical safety items you're talking about, but almost always it's not just critical for firefighters. If you don't have a local, then try to find some interested folks in the community, business leaders, people like that. And, you know, try and get them interested in it. That can be tricky. I don't have a playbook for that because everybody's different. Every area is different. I see your point. And if the chief's hands are tied, then, Who speaks up if he can't, if he or she can't? All right. Jay, I'm a new paramedic at a new department. Actually, let me back up. That's not what he said. I'm a paramedic at a new department, and our director of EMS is completely lost on just about everything. I can't believe that somebody could be a director of a EMS could be director of EMS and not have the basics down, not only with respect to his medical skills, but also to his leadership skills. He's the first director in this agency's history, and I'm appalled, and the people around me are appalled. I know that I'm going to start looking to get out of here as quick as I possibly can. I only listened to your podcast the other day for the first time, and I'm hoping you can offer up some advice. Keep up the good work. You know, I typically don't talk about EMS, don't have any expertise in it, but you mentioned leadership. Yeah, leadership is fundamental, and I don't care what job you have. It's necessary for your leader to have core skills. And certainly with respect to leadership, they need to know what they're directing. You know, that's, and I don't know. I wish you'd write back, if you would, if you're listening to this, write back and tell me, where did he come from, or he or she, where did they come from? What agency, how big was the agency, that kind of thing. And how big's your agency? Sometimes I realize these things are personalities. Maybe you don't like the new director or whatever, but if indeed more and more people feel as though they're not doing their job, it's a good idea to make that known. When you get an opportunity, if you leave, state why you're leaving. You know, loss of confidence, whatever it is. I can say this. Sometimes buddies hire buddies, and that's how somebody gets a job. And if someone is incompetent, it's rare that they hire a competent person. They surround themselves with minions, right? They want people who are going to be loyal to them and not loyal to the job. And that's not just in EMS, and that's in most things. The best leaders hire people who will tell them exactly what they think. Now, you're not going to stand there and have somebody come in and say, you're an idiot. That's not a good way to do it. But great leaders surround themselves with people who are willing to tell the truth. This is a perfect example of dysfunction. Dysfunctional people can't take the slightest criticism because you're attacking them. And because it's us versus them, to them, you're attacking their very core person. So good luck with that. And also good luck getting another job. It sucks to have to go to work for people who don't know what they're doing. And I know a lot of people who have to get up in the morning and go to a department and they hate it. They do. And it sucks. I know that. Let's do two more. Let me see. Yeah, do you think the backlog of fire apparatus is artificial, or is it actually something that occurred because of COVID? I think a lot of things happened because of COVID. I do. And I think one of the biggest things that has happened because of the COVID issue is that it has given people built-in excuses to have things late, to this whole new dynamic, as people say, this whole new way of life. When you think about it, if you stop production of vehicles, any vehicles, it takes time to catch back up. But you do catch back up. There are only so many fire apparatus that are built per year because there are only so many orders per year. It's not like, you know, it's not like your passenger vehicles where, you know, there are ebbs and flows and some years you're going to sell 20 million, you know, of this particular vehicle or whatever. There aren't new fire departments being created all the time. A lot of departments, they stick with their apparatus, especially if they're quality and especially if they've taken care of them for some time, which is interesting. I was at a restaurant and saw someone who came over to tell me that their fire apparatus, which had not been taken care of, that he was having a conversation with a mechanic who said, the people in charge, they ought to be fired for the lack of care they've put into these apparatus. Yeah. But, you know, with respect to is it artificial or not, I think it, look, people fell behind. They did. Companies fell behind. But I do think some, not all, but some may be using all of this as an excuse to raise prices and create demand where it's artificially doing it. So, yeah, some of it is, I think, not all of it. Let's do one more. Jay, wondering what you think of... Oh, I shouldn't have done this one. Wonder what you think of helmets. We are going with a more traditional style helmet, leather with impact shield, and our neighboring department won't allow them to do that at all. Just wondering what your take on it is. Here's my take on helmets. Make sure that it's an approved helmet and then wear the helmet. I don't care what you wear as long as it's approved. And here's the other thing. Keep the helmet on, right? That's a key. I've been through the helmet wars. I think most of us have. Everybody listening to this probably has their own opinion. Man, whatever you're given, as long as it meets a standard, wear it. The type of helmet you have doesn't make you a good or bad firefighter. Doesn't make your department good or bad. That's marketing. It is. That's marketing in the same way that the color of your gear is the color of your gear. And clever marketing tries to create these competitions. Well, real fire departments wear this and other. It's all marketing. It's all BS. Whatever your department buys you, as long as it meets the standard and it's taken care of, it should serve you well. If it doesn't, then they need to switch manufacturers. But yeah, I know people to this day who will fall on their sword for a particular helmet. I know the helmet that I like. That being said, I'm going to go with whatever the department gives me, or if they open it up, then I'm going to get the helmet that, as long as it meets a standard, that's going to be the most important thing. You don't want your loved ones, having to deal with you gone forever because you decided to wear a helmet that didn't meet a standard. That's going to do it for today. We will be back tomorrow. Until then, stay safe.